This is a special edition of Regionally Speaking on Lakeshore Public Radio. I'm Chris Nolte. We attended the February 7th public forum hosted by State Representative Vernon Smith and his House colleagues Charlie Brown and Earl Harris Jr. and State Senator Eddie Melton and Lonnie Randolph. Gary Mayor Karen Freeman Wilson was also in attendance at that event. It was held at the Glenn Theater in Gary. We bring you the question and answer session from the event. Many of the remarks from residents who attended came over the proposed construction demolition waste site in Gary as based in a bill that would allow the city to create the site. It was approved by the Indiana House, but its passage's chances in the Senate are less positive. The chairman of the Chamber's Environment Committee had told the Times that he would not bring it up for consideration this session. Nonetheless, citizens did have a chance to speak out about it, and they did. Let's begin with some comments from State Representative Smith.
We'd like to give you some guidelines, if you would be kind enough to abide by them. We ask that you do not come up and make statements, but you come up and ask questions. If we have time after we get all the questions answered, then if we have additional time, we'll allow people to come in and share their thoughts with us. I think all of us are willing, I know for myself, that I return my phone calls, I answer my emails, I stop it when I'm in the public and talk with people, and I think that is true of all of us. We're willing to communicate with you, and we will do that. But with this forum, we need to, with as many people here, give everybody an equal opportunity to make a presentation or to ask a question. So we asked if you're interested that you would come and line up at the microphone there. If you get too long-winded, please understand that we're not being disrespectful, but we will cut you off in order to allow everybody an opportunity to ask questions. Before we begin, we have a number of elected officials who are here. Could we ask the elected officials to please stand up, everybody who's an elected official, if you'll please stand up. And could we give them a round of applause for their service? Yeah. And the leader of our city just arrived, Mayor Wilson, and I'm sure there's an item that's going to come up that she will want to answer. So I'm going to allow her to have a microphone, if you could send someone up to get your mic for her, or if you want to come.
Good evening, gentlemen. My name is Carolyn McCready. I've lived in the city of Gary since 1978. I'm a retired school teacher. And I have four questions that I'd like to ask in succession. The first one is, it has to do with the proposed C&D site slash landfill that Representative Harris has is the chief sponsor on. First of all, if a construction and demolition landfill is already permitted, then why was it necessary to go in and change the law having to do with the proximity of where you can put a landfill? That law that says there has to be a half mile between residential areas and a landfill was enacted for a purpose, and it had to do with all of the environmental violations that were going on in Lake County. And so I don't quite understand why that had to happen. And number two,
okay, Carolyn, if I may, do you want us to respond to each question, or you want to just
I want my questions. I want to put them out and then a response.
Okay, that's
okay?
fine.
If we could.
Okay, could you just give us questions?
Yes, I am.
And,
mm-hmm.
Okay.
Okay. What was the opening date and the closing date for the RFP around this public-private partnership? Because we met with Mayor Karen Freeman Wilson, we know who responded. But what I'd like to know of those respondees, what is their experience in operating this kind of operation? You know, which I can see now, since we're, you know, going to be taking in waste from 90 miles around, is going to be quite large. And the second thing is, where is this thing going to be located, this landfill slash site? No one knows, and no one has been willing to say that so far. And those are my questions.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Representative Harris is going to start the response, and then we'll give the mayor, since she probably has more details, we'll give her opportunity to respond as well.
Thank you. Thank you for your question. I can answer a little bit, and a lot of your questions are really city-based questions, and so the mayor will have to respond to that. To answer your first question about why the legislation, the city went through a process of checking on and talking to people about what they wanted to do. And after conversations with IDEM, what the city was told was you have to take care of this legislatively. They cannot take care of this through an administrative process to allow what the city wants to do. So that is the reason for the legislation. Trust me, we would not go through what we've been going through over the past weeks if we did not have to do that. So after IDEM, also we have Legislative Services Agency, which are our legal people that take care of the 100 representatives and the 50 senators. This is what we were told by legal people, or the city was told, excuse me, Mayor, the city was told that they have to do. So to answer your first question, it's because this is what we were informed legally has to be done. And if the mayor doesn't mind, I'm going to ask her to answer your other questions, because those are really city-based questions.
Got it. Okay. Good evening, and I just want to thank all of the legislators for the opportunity to hear what is going on in Indianapolis and to also join you and answer any questions. I had the questions written down. I'm going to try and remember them. The reason that there was a piece of legislation needed was because the Indiana Administrative Code and the existing law were silent about C&D sites. It is clear that landfills are prohibited. The law will not change that. There is no desire to change the law as it relates to landfills. But it was vague as it relates to construction and demolition sites. And so this law is proposed to do that. The RFP was issued by the Gary Sanitary District, and it was done earlier in 2017. Ms. McCready, I'll get you the exact dates, but it was issued. There was about a 30 to 45 day period that it was out, and then the responses were received. And they are currently being reviewed, and the terms are being negotiated. And that is why there has not been a site chosen. One of the things that the responders were told was to come back and suggest sites. And they have not done that. That process is still ongoing. And the fact that there are limitations relative to C&D sites that we hope will be addressed by the legislation has also impacted that process. And the respondents who have responded, and one is Republic, the other is Gary Material Supply, both have experience in this area.
Thank you, Mayor. We don't want to tax you by having you to stand the entire time. So what we're going to do, we'll start with Mr. Bugs. He'll be number one. And if you just count off, so one and two, if you'll stand up, and then three, four, and five, you, from back, you can sit down and ask. But you need to know your number. Count off and keep your number. So don't get out of line first. Stay in line so you can count off. So Mr. Bugs, you're number one next. Just count off. Say one, two, three, so you know your numbers. Okay, we're trying to do this in a very elementary way. I see people sitting down without saying their numbers. Okay. Hopefully you know where you are. Okay. Maybe I'm elementary. Okay. So if you know your number, you can have a seat so you don't have to stand the whole time. Also, with the quantity of people here, we're asking that you limit to one question. If people have asked all the questions that need to be asked, then you can come back the second time. Mr. Bugs.
One question.
One question.
Wow.
Give me your best shot,
okay,
sir.
Okay, I'm going to start with 1318 first. Representative Harris, you stated that it wouldn't have an environmental because of the blight. And my question is, how can you demolish 6,000 houses and pile them up by residents and say that's not contributing to blight And did you take in consideration the property values of our homes? That's 1318.
Okay. So, and I'm going to refer back to the mayor, but there is a process, which I'll let her explain. There's no reason for me to explain it. There's a process in terms of ensuring how the demolition takes place. So if you don't mind, Mayor.
Pushing my button. So Mr. Buggs, the legislation is really the first step. And I guess I should have provided some context, and I don't want to be long-winded, but I do want to answer your question and any other questions that may exist. The whole thinking behind 1318 was that we have approximately 6,800 residential structures and another 1,000 to 2,000 commercial structures that are ripe or that need to be demolished or deconstructed. There are some that can be rehabilitated, but because some of you know that you've lived next to structures for 10, 20, 30 years, even in some cases, those buildings have to come down. A lot of them are burnouts. The thinking is that we would then be in a position to negotiate an agreement that would allow the city to be a partner in a site and thereby take away the cost associated with the disposal and the hauling of the demolition. Right now we pay $3,000 to $4,000 per property. And so in terms of determining, and the reason that we have not determined where that site would go is because we know that there are clearly some inappropriate places. You can say that you would be within a half mile of a residence, but it still might be an appropriate place that would not reduce the value of your home. And in fact, the program is designed to increase the value of all of our homes, because I think all of us, or most of us, live near a vacant or abandoned house. I know you and I do. Now, I can't say for anybody else, but I know you and I do. And so to the extent that that is true, the zoning board, the city council would then determine the propriety of any proposal after the sanitary district would negotiate that agreement. And so, as an example, there are some big spaces that are in the middle of the city. One example is the stocking factory. Of course that wouldn't be an appropriate place to put a C&D site, because to the north you have houses within, you know, a block. To the south you have houses within the block. To the east you have Lancaster. To the west, so, you know, I think it's fair to say that you're not going to have a bunch of sites throughout the city. The other reason for that is that we want to have the advantage here. So we would not necessarily say that this would allow for multiple sites, because that doesn't do us any good. So I guess my answer to your question is that that is not what is contemplated by this bill, and it's not like the bill passes and then people get to open up shop the next day. There's a process involving the zoning commission, there's a process involving the city council, and then there's a process involving IDEM.
Well, I want to see altogether how much lost tax revenue was lost in the state of Indiana as a result of the federal tax cut and the 3% tax cap, and what those monies were used for.
That's okay. We'll follow up on that.
Good evening, gentlemen.
I can answer on the 3% tax cap. The first year that the 3% tax cap was implemented, and this is just for the city of Gary, some took a smaller hit, some had a greater impact, but the first year we lost $26 million as a result of the tax cap, and that is an annual loss.
Thank you. Yes, sir.
Good evening, gentlemen. Good evening, Madam Mayor. Reverend Delwyn Campbell, strategic mission developer deployed to Gary by the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. We've come to Gary with a very strong interest in redevelopment of the city and revitalization. I'm here tonight because of this Bill 1318. After consulting with my partner churches throughout the Indiana district, we come to the conclusion that we don't see that this bill helps with what we desire to do and what I think many of the residents desire to do. My question is, based on the reading of the bill, I don't see how this legislation provides the protection with regard both to environmental issues, with regard to the proper and logistically safe disposal of these issues, nor do I see anything in this bill that limits the material specifically to brick, wood, masonry, no asbestos, no lead, no other toxins and carcinogens. So are you planning on putting something in the bill? Are you needing to do follow-up legislation? What guarantee do we have? Because I haven't met anybody that's really said, I like this bill. So what do you intend to do to make this bill address our concerns? Because the only thing that I'm hearing addressed right now is enabling people to be able to create places where waste exists near our homes.
May I try to respond to some of that? This legislation is only enabling legislation. You all, everyone out there that has an interest in this, still will have three bites at the apple. It has to go through planning, zoning committee. It then has to go before the full city council. It has to go through IDEM. Your questions should be directed at those three who are very technical in what has to happen in order for this to become a reality. The mayor asked us to introduce enabling legislation. That's as far as we go relative to a site, a process, whatever. This is a local issue dealing with the zoning commission that has to approve it. The full city council committee and the full council, I presume, will have to deal with this issue, as well as the Indiana Department of Environmental Management would also have to approve whatever site the city of Gary decides that they would like to attempt to place this construction and demolition material issue. So can we limit our questions to issues dealing with legislation unless you want the mayor at this point, and we are willing to relinquish some of our time today if there are many other people that still have not received a satisfactory answer about 1318 and the mayor's request that this be done.
The next person, I think we are on a number. What number are you, ma'am?
Five.
Okay, thank you.
This might be a question for the mayor then. I know your emails are probably blowing up about 1318 because mine have. I'm a community builder
name.
In Gary.
Could you give us your name?
My name is Jessica Renslow. I'm a community builder in Gary, Indiana. And I've got one big question that could be considered three, but it's been from a lot of emails I've gotten trying to whittle it down. So this has been through the House, still has to go to the Senate, I think. Would you guys consider limiting the debris that is accepted at the proposed site to just be from structures generated by the city of Gary's demolition team and their community partners within the city of Gary? Because right now it's so broad, you don't know if it's coming from other cities or not. Put a sunset exemption with when Gary's demolition needs have been met. And I know that seems decades away, but you know, even if it's two or three decades away, we need to have that written in there. And provide a plan for what to do with the sites once all of Gary's demolition needs have been met. So it looks like in the economic impact area, you've got a little bit of ideas, but maybe just put it within there somewhere. I mean, some folks are going to always be against this, but putting those three items in might ease some concerns. That's it.
Can I, because it really is a question that I can, it is the questions that you asked, and those are all three great ideas that could be debated. They would be addressed through the process once the site is identified, once the parameters are set with whoever the chosen provider is, and then it would also be addressed through the item process. I think Reverend Campbell asked about, you know, how do we know that certain contaminants aren't going to be included? That's what item does every day in terms of dealing with sites throughout the state of Indiana. But to your point, in terms of the limiting, when we vet or review the proposals, one of the requirements will be that they have a plan once the site has been completed. And they have to have a plan for the utilization. And our plans are consistent, or our vision relative to the site is consistent with something like a lost marsh, because that, of course, was a traditional landfill, but it's nothing that says that a C&D site could not result in the same type of development.
Thank you. Number six.
Evening, everyone. Jamal Washington, Lake County Council, 3rd District. We're putting ourselves in a box. This isn't my question. This is the statement that's leading to my question. We're putting ourselves in a box.
Put the mic closer.
Even better? Okay. So a lot of times the state, they put us in a box in terms of different legislations, mainly 1315 or the school takeover. And as we sit back, we say, this isn't fair to the city of Gary. You're treating us as our own island, and it's not fair. So as we look at that, I believe that this legislation is putting, we're putting our own stuff in a box. Now, if it was really good, the whole state would jump on board. But if I'm not mistaken, when the proposal came up to Earl Harris to make it countywide, it was shot down. That's because this is not a great bill that is presented. But just for clarity purposes, my question here is, I'm reading directly from the bill. Okay, because some of the statements that I heard, Mr. Harris, was that it was for only brick and mortar recyclable. Okay, so this is directly from the bill. Construction slash demolition site for the purposes of IC 13-20-12-2 has the meaning set forth. So now I'm about to explain the meaning. So real quick. Section 2.A, a person may not establish a sanitary landfill for disposal of garbage, rubbish, or refuse on land in Indiana within half a mile of an area. Number one, that has been subdivided by residential purposes. If you go down to 13, number B, this section does not apply to the establishment by an entity that manages construction slash demolition waste under rules. The reason why I said that, maybe you want to amend this bill, but the reason why I said that, your bill clearly states that that law that's currently in place will be exempt for demolition slash construction sites. So if you want it as a recyclable, or whatever you was telling everybody else on social media, I believe we still need to do an amendment. Now, I'm still not supporting the bill. I think it's putting ourselves in a box, and to me, it's creating more blight, because people are going to move away. So when they move away, we start a cycle, right? And I don't think it's beneficial, but that's my question.
I'm not sure what the question was, but I want to respond to a couple of things. You said, I want to correct something
just,
that
just
you
question,
said.
The question was, are you going to do an amendment? That's the question.
Are you going to what?
Are you going to do an amendment to this current bill?
Okay. So I want to respond to something you said. You mentioned the whole county. I want to clarify something. There was an amendment offered by the chairman of the environmental committee, which this bill went through. That amendment would have allowed for landfills in Lake County. That is an amendment that none of us supported. In fact, Representative Brown and Smith and I met with the chairman and other Republicans, this is a Republican representative, and were very clear with him that we will not support an amendment being added onto this piece of legislation that would allow for a landfill. We had a very narrow conversation about this, and we were very clear. There was even some follow-up with the mayor about this, and that if that had happened, what it would meant for the future of this piece of legislation, which would have meant the end of it, because there's no way I was going to support a piece of legislation that would have allowed for landfills in Lake County. So I want to correct you on that to make sure everyone's clear. So the chairman did back down after multiple conversations and meetings, and he did not allow for, he did not file his amendment, so it did not become part of the legislation. Now, in terms of amending the legislation, which I believe is your question, if there will be any amendments, and the mayor can correct me if I'm incorrect on this, we have had, this has gone through IDEM, this has gone through legislative services. This is what we were given in terms of how the legislation should go to fit the purpose. Now, if we, as mentioned by Representative Brown and others, there's a long process. This is just the beginning of the process. If it is felt that we need to do something to change it, then we will look into that and do that. But this is where we are at this point. This is what we were given in terms of going through the proper channels in terms of how the legislation should exist.
Go ahead, Mayor. I'm sorry.
No, I was just going to say the issue is not just the legislation alone. It's the legislation in the context of the Indiana Administrative Code and making sure that they are consistent and clear in the directions to IDEM.
I just want to kind of dovetail back off of the question dealing with amendment and the process. So where the bill currently is, I'm not sure if you all picked up the leaflet that's outside. I had two printouts, two graphics that talked about 1315, 1318, where we are in the process. Right now, we're at the midway point. Representative Brown mentioned that earlier in terms of the bills crossing over from one chamber to the next. So the bills that we all talked about in our respective chambers are getting ready to cross over. In regards to 1318, the reality is we have a problem in the city with blight. We have over 6,500 abandoned homes. One of the things I did share with my colleagues and the mayor as it comes over to the Senate, the reason why I agreed to be the sponsor is because I learned that in the process, becoming a sponsor of a bill, you'll be able to have impact and input along the way. So to directly answer your question, there is opportunities for amendments. One of the things I share with everyone in this process is that I wanted to ensure that the community had an opportunity to share their thoughts and concerns, that we're able to hear those for the recommendations in regards to what you said, Jessica, and things as mentioned today. I think this is an opportunity to share that with the mayor and her team to figure out what type of safeguards or language the community is comfortable with that will want to see it if it would continue to go through the process. So let me, and I'll wrap up. I don't want to take too much of you guys' time. How the process is going to work moving forward. Okay, it's been assigned to the Environmental Committee, and that chairman will has an opportunity to schedule that bill to be heard. When that bill comes down to be scheduled to be heard, it will be posted on our website. And this is the opportunity for folks to come and testify. And I'm sharing this from a transparency standpoint in terms of how you can be a part of the process moving forward. So being able to come and testify, and trust me, I know it's a haul and it's a truck coming from Gary, Northwest Indiana to Indianapolis, depending on what time of the meeting is. But I just want to kind of share the steps, share the process, so folks know where we are along this in this particular piece of legislation. And if there's any opportunities to share the concerns or safeguards potentially to be amended, to share that with the mayor and share that with Representative Harris, because in the next week or so, it'll be coming over to the Senate side.
Okay, number seven.
Hi, I'm Thomas Frank with the Community Strategy Group. We're a community strategy group that we focus on environmental justice and East Chicago and Gary are EJ communities that have been seeing an overburden of these types of projects. We have lots of landfills, Superfund sites. We're one of the hottest toxic regions in the country, and one of the we suffer great health public health issues because of that. We're our concern, and we thank Representative Harris for fielding a lot of questions to clarify what this is about. Our concern is that state statute was set to mitigate against communities doing things that were against their own, their own health interests. We have standards throughout the state that the half-mile rule is a benefit, is a protection to the community, and we really, really want to augment that. This what this bill, HB 1318, is doing. Is eliminating this particular half-mile rule for this category of sites and landfills, that being the C&D landfill. We're really very concerned by the lessening of protections in a community like this when we're talking about what's appropriate and that the process through the city will be addressing appropriateness when the city has already moved a landfill project, Maya project, through the different departments and against what was what I would consider appropriate. How do we square the lessening of protections and the practice of appropriateness in Gary on this project? It seems there's a real problem. It does go against environmental justice.
Mayor, do you want to respond to that, or Representative Harris, do you want to respond? Yes.
Here's a recommendation, sitting with the mayor, sitting with other stakeholders to figure out what that looks like from a safeguard. What language is that that put those safeguards or protections that you see that is lessening, and figuring out what that could look like to amend the bill. Now, at that point, everyone still may not be satisfied what it looks like. We don't know. But I think figuring out what language could look like to offer amendments that will ensure the community's questions are being answered from an environmental standpoint. That's just one recommendation I can offer, so I'm not sure if anyone else has anything.
Just, I'll kind of echo that. And as you said, you and I had a long conversation. There are actually multiple people in the room that did reach out, and I did have long conversations with them about the legislation. That is really the best way, you know, have, and as opposed to just posting things that are inaccurate, not true, have conversation with us, have conversations with the mayor, other people in the city, and let's see how your concerns can be worked out and make sure that everyone is comfortable as we continue to move forward with this. As Senator Melton mentioned, you know, as we've said, we're not completely through this process. There are a lot of steps in this, and there's a lot of opportunity for input by the public. That's part of, you know, us being here is to talk about this. We knew that 1318 was going to be the dominant topic of the night. So there are a lot of opportunities for the public to have input when it comes to us on the legislative side. And then, as the mayor has talked about, when it goes to the city and goes through the city's process. So I would just suggest keep in contact and have those conversations.
I expect to continue the conversation, but.
Okay, sir, your time is up. Number eight, please.
My name's Sam Henderson. And I'm a resident of Gary and a staff attorney for the Hoosier Environmental Council. I'm afraid I'm yet another speaker on HB 1318, so I'm afraid Senator Randolph must be getting a little bored here. But I do have a question for the remaining four of you. As I'm sure you can understand, we do have, although we do have this problem with blight in the city, we also have a very troubled history with solid waste disposal. As is borne out at the Gary Sanitary Landfill, which is 20 years after being closed, still in violation of federal law, and many other sites around the city. But I have a particular question going back to those conversations that Representative Harris mentioned, for which I'm very appreciative. There were a lot of assurances made, and not exclusively by any one person, but a lot of assurances made that the project, the particular project that would be enabled by this legislation, would not involve the disposal or landfilling of any waste, and it was really targeted just to essentially a way of reusing materials in the city of Gary. And I know yesterday and again this evening we've received these fact sheets from the mayor, which are very helpful and make it very clear that the project that's envisioned here would involve landfilling large quantities of demolition debris and would in fact involve landfilling large quantities of demolition debris from outside the city as well as from within the city. And my question is that, was that your understanding when you signed on to this bill? Is what we have here, that this will be a large landfill receiving waste from outside the city, is that consistent with your basis for supporting the bill? Thank you.
Okay, I just want for clarification, when you say waste, it's a C&D site. So anything that goes into it has to fit those guidelines. There was some conversation, and the mayor can correct me if I'm incorrect. Part of what this will also assist the city with doing is providing a revenue stream. It'll save the city money in terms of having a site inside of the city, a construction demolition site inside of the city. But it will also, and correct me, Mayor, if I'm wrong, provide a revenue stream so that if other entities, cities, whatever they should be called, have similar types of materials that are okay to go into the site, that they can pay the city to go into the site.
That's correct. And let me just, I hope that you will take the time to review not only the fact sheet, but the information, my statement. And, you know, everybody has come up and said, yeah, we have a blight problem. But I don't think people recognize we have a $100 million blight problem. You know, there's a blight problem, a couple of houses that are vacant or abandoned. And then there's the $100 million problem like we have. And so there are no easy solutions when you have a $100 million problem. Right now, we have about $11 million. In fact, there's a meeting going on as we speak that we have gotten from the state. About $7 million of that is left. And if I took a show of hands to show who has seen significant demolition in their neighborhood, I would dare say that not many of you would raise your hands unless you live in Emerson or parts of Atna or parts of Glen Ryan. And so while I understand the concerns, I think that the concerns, every concern that has been raised will be addressed through the process that IDEM has set forth, through the process that the city council and the Board of Zoning Appeals has set forth. And it gives an opportunity to narrow, to limit locations. Nobody's going to look out of their front door, as an example, and see a construction and debris site across the street. And no one is attempting to create a landfill that accepts solid waste. That is not what this is about. So I know that there's a history here, right? That long preceded me. And I know that because of that history, it's hard for you to say, well, trust me. But here's the thing, you have a voice, and it occurs not only in forums like this, but it does occur during the legislative process. It does occur during the council process. It does occur in the Board of Zoning Appeals and with IDEM. And while we encourage you to really take advantage of that process, I also want to put what we are trying to get done in context.
Piggyback on what the mayor indicated, my understanding is that you understand what a traditional landfill is. This is not going to be a traditional landfill, is my understanding, which is the reason why the half-mile radius would not apply in this case. And so the bill that's going through right now has to go through the Senate. So Eddie and I will be seeing it at some point in time. That's when amendment occurs. And the ideas that you're bringing up right now, and also some additional ideas that may develop once the bill is assigned to a committee come up, will be taken into consideration as well. So what you see now in terms of the bill might not be the final form at this point in time. But the traditional landfill, to my understanding, is not what this project is all about. Otherwise, you would not have the exception being granted of the half-mile distance in terms of the residential homes.
Yes. The mayor mentioned a voice, and I just wonder if there's anybody concerned about 1315, where your voice is being silent. Nobody said anything about that because voters are being disenfranchised. So we'll go on to number eight. That was number eight. Number nine? Okay, so we can have, is there another person who wasn't in line that'd like to have something to say? This is number nine?
I think I'm eight. I don't know.
Okay, just go ahead if nobody else got up. Go ahead.
Yeah, hi. My name is Ekta, and I really want to thank you for being here and listening.
You got to speak into the mic.
I want to ask about HB 1424.
1424?
Yes.
Speak real loud so we can hear you.
Sure. I don't know.
Virginia, outside, you're yelling at your kids.
I want to thank you for being here and talk about, I want to talk about HB 1424. I want to say thank you that you voted no on it. I think we're going, oh my God. I'm not good at speaking in public, so I apologize. I think we're getting more lax with our gun laws, and we're going opposite of what we should. People are dying every day. There's mass shootings. Every month, every couple weeks, you hear something. And the Senate just passed where you can have guns in the churches and schools. I think that's obnoxious. What can we do to make our community safer for our children and our grandchildren? I see that you're voting the right way. You know, I listened on January 24th was the initial hearing. Thank you, Representative Brown. You just flat out said no. But, you know, we have those people downstate, and, you know, can you kill the bill when it gets to the Senate, the HB 1424? Even law enforcement officials spoke out and said we should not pass this bill, and it was still passed. And I don't know how the Senate passed where you can have guns in churches and schools. I mean, would Jesus want you to have a gun in church? Yeah. You know?
House Bill 1424 deals with handguns and whether a person has to have a permit in order to carry a handgun.
Correct.
The original concept was that because most of my colleagues, be they Democrat or this isn't a partisan issue. There are many Democrats that also believe that everyone should have the right to bear arms. And they
Everybody should go through a background check. Everybody should have a common.
I understand that, but it's very difficult. We're sitting down there with them, and it's hard for us to understand their perceptions of life. And you all are farther removed. There are those that believe that because the Constitution says everyone has the right to bear arms, that is their argument. This is a softened version whereby you still have to have, we're going to eliminate the lifetime permits and eliminate the persons that have to go to the police department and pay $125 for the lifetime permit down to we now, through taxpayer funds, will pick up that cost so that everyone that wants to and does not have a felony can go ahead and carry a handgun without any restrictions.
But people are able to go to gun shows and purchase guns without having a background check. And, you know, when we go and drive a car, we have to give a driving test before we can have a car. And, you know, you have to get, you know, liability insurance for your car. And here you have people running on the streets with guns. just because they think it's their Second Amendment right, they should go through. It's my right to live, you know, in the pursuit of happiness, and it's my children's right to live and walk and go to school without being shot at. You know, what happens to those rights when you're giving guns to everybody? So this is the thing, you know, everybody, we should go for universal background checks. Las Vegas happened, it's over 4 months, and we still haven't banned bump stocks.
Can I just respond? Indiana is fertile ground for the NRA. And it's about selling guns. And if you want, excuse me, I can't take any, I'm responding to you. We've got to move on. Okay. It's fertile ground. NRA supports a lot of the legislators. And so many of the legislators are owned by this entity and they vote accordingly. So things that make sense, like a bill saying that if you get a gun, if you purchase a gun, that you should go on online training or that you pass out a safety tip handout. Those simple kind of things like that, they vote down. They're opening up the floodgates. And I really thought at this point that with all the catastrophes and the mass murders that have occurred in other parts of these United States, that we would get the message before it comes here. But some of us are stuck on stupid, got that SOS disease, and we're going to have to wait till it gets here, and they come and shoot up all the legislators. Then they'll get the message and do something about it.
So good evening. So my name is Glennie Dunham, president of Gary Teachers Union Local 4, also president of the State Federation, AFT Indiana. And so I stand to oppose 1315. I know it's out of the House, and I appreciate the work that Representative Smith, Harris and Brown did on that, and now it's going to the Senate. And so I read Senator Melton's piece saying that I know he's opposed to it, so I'm asking Senator Randolph also to be opposed. And I'm asking the audience here tonight, the bill is 1315. It's a dangerous bill. It's taking away the voice of the school board totally. So it's saying that teachers can be hired in August and fired by September the 30th. And so I know I've been working with the emergency manager. We've been recruiting from Purdue, from IU. So this bill is totally indifference from what we're trying to do. We won't be able to attract any teachers if you're talking about you. I hire you in August and I can fire you September 30th. So I don't know if you all are aware of that, but I'm asking that you contact your senators. You can go to the website and find out the Republican senators who are signed on to this bill. So we have from now until, and like Senator Melton said, if the weather breaks, we need to ride down to Indianapolis. There's a rally on February the 19th to support public education. There's still 4,700 students in Gary that choose public education. So I'm asking that you stand up for your teachers, the ones who teach your children on a daily basis. Probably most of us went to public school, but now all of a sudden, you know, we have a choice. We didn't have a choice back when I was growing up, and I did fine in public school. So I'm asking you to oppose 1315. There's a lot in that bill. My focus is school teachers, because that's who I am. I'm Gary Teachers Union, President Local 4. Thanks.
Thank you. I just want to touch on that very quickly before the next question comes up. I think there's a different appetite on the Senate side from the House side on how to approach 1315. I met with most of the members of Appropriations and expressed a concern, particularly, number one, with the absence of the board member and the appointment from the emergency manager to the board. So as you may or may not be aware, we wrote a letter to the Attorney General asking them to weigh in on that situation. I think they made some amendments on the House side to address that. However, that's still not over. So as it comes to the House, I mean, on the Senate side, the members of Appropriation, I believe, thus far, everyone that I've spoken with that's a Republican, agrees that the public should have a voice in this process. The public should have a voice in this process, meaning that if you elected a representative to represent you, then that person should be able to represent you. Now, we understand that the board, as it is right now, has little to no authority when it comes down to the academics, when it comes down to the finances. However, they still represent the people that elected them. So we need to respect the way that constitutionally protects, should be protecting us, and we should not impede upon that legislatively by the state.
Okay. We have about 6 minutes left, so if we could get some brevity, we would appreciate it. Thank you.
I'll say this real quick. Good afternoon.
Glad could you speak a little louder, please?
Here today. My name is Leonard White. I live in Maryville, Indiana. Born and raised here in Gary, grant administrator from the county. I did a lot of stuff for Gary, sent him $12 million in grants, sent East Chicago $8 million in grants. So we did help them to manage the trash and the solid waste. I personally think, I don't know where they're going to put this new C&D landfill, but J-Pit is all written across my mind, because that's the only place that I can know that could take that volume of C&D. Good, not the J-Pit. Okay. Good. Good. Secondly, I just wanted to say something about the repealing of the vehicle emissions. I don't think that was a good idea, even though I know Rick Niemeyer thought it was a good idea for South County, but for North County, that will still allow the pollution levels to increase. The minute we stop doing car emissions, those pollution levels start to tamp up a little bit. So just want to let you know it was against that. Thank you.
In response to that, I initiated that because of the fact that only Lake and Porter County has to go through the emissions testing, and IDEM has concrete proof that the local vehicles are not above the allowable emittance. Our big issue is that we are locked in with Chicago and Wisconsin. They have a zone, and we are there to lessen the pain of Chicagoland and Wisconsin by being in that particular catchment area. There are still efforts being made to prevent. I look at it mainly from the standpoint of persons that may have older cars that have to go out and spend $300, $500, $700 to get their cars tested and then return, and the first time it may not even pass then. So there will still be an effort, unless I'm proven wrong, about trying to eliminate the fact that only 2 out of 92 counties have to go through that auto emissions testing process.
Okay, next.
Comes to my point. Only one city that has a BMV office in the whole state out of 135 or whatever number of BMV offices there are. There's only one that's closed on Saturdays, when people who are working could go there and get their voter IDs. That expresses the motive behind that. The state moved the BMV office from a very visible location, right on Broadway around 13th, and a big sign out front so you could find it easily. They moved it up into a government building and put it in the back with no signage out front and closed it on Saturdays. Now, sounds to me like there's a plan there. I belong to Black Lives Matter, but I also believe black votes matter. We saw that in Alabama, and I'd like to see it happen here.
Okay.
So please, do what you can down there with those.
We will, I'm sure I speak for my colleagues, we will pen a letter collectively to deal with that.
Thank you. We are the only one.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Hello, good evening. My name is Tashawn. I'm a resident of Maryville, Indiana. It's basically just a idea or maybe something you guys can put together. It was brought to my attention that there are some schools, I'm not for sure about Garrett, but for sure Maryville, that accept the program, the grants from the state for the kids that's under five.
I don't understand. Could you say that again?
There are some schools in Maryville that accepts the grants for the children.
You're talking about vouchers?
Yes, the vouchers. Yes, I'm sorry. For the children that are under 5 years old. Now, it's one particular school, I'm not going to say it right now, maybe I'll say it later on, who do accept this voucher. However, they do not provide a lunch program for the children. Now, I contact this center.
Can I maybe correct you? You're talking about two different voucher situations.
Okay.
The K through 12 cannot be accepted by a preschool kids who are under five. That's where they get vouchers for daycare, and that's totally different from the
right,
other voucher
right.
programs.
I'm sorry about that. Well, it's the one for, you know, you send your kids to school and they.
Are you talking about the preschool? Or you talking
the
about
preschool? But they consider it on my way to pre-K because the actual voucher that was obtained, it's actually a friend of mine's that was obtained was the on my way to pre-K.
Yes.
But the school actually considered her child a preschooler. But her child is on that voucher. So I'm not for sure. But my question is, or my idea is, she told me that the school do not provide a lunch for the children for that age bracket that's under 5 years old and for the rest of the school. Now, the school do accept the state funding. I contacted Senator Melson's office, and it was very gracious in answering my question and told me that it's not required. Though they accept that funding, it's not required for the school to provide a lunch program only until the age of five and up. So fortunately, my friend, she was able to pack a lunch for her child every day. But for some, they may not be able to do so. So my suggestion is maybe if something could be proposed or amended that if the school going to accept either voucher, either or, it's coming from the state, the least they can do is feed the children because not everyone can, you know, pack a lunch every day for their child. And to my understanding, she told me that the program is based off your income. So that right there would tell you if it's based off your income and they're able.
In the interest of time, can we let Senator Melton respond?
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, we could definitely talk after this, but do you know if it's half a day or full day? Okay, thanks.
And I had a question. Did your friend consider going to another facility?
No.
Well, I think she ought to consider that.
That's okay. True, but okay. It's still an idea, you know, for others.
Okay. Okay, we'll investigate it. Yes, okay. This is the last question.
Good evening. My name is Winneka Fisher, and I am a Gary resident. I can spell my name if you like me to. That's W-Y-N-E-C-T-A. Last name Fisher, no C. So I have a quick question about the C&D proposed landfill. I'm going to make it really brief because what I'd like to do, when I went online, I didn't see a couple things, so I'm looking for them. And if you can direct me to them, I would greatly appreciate it. I did not see an environmental site assessment. I know you said that there's been no determination of where you're going to place them, but there should be some type of assessment that has been done because you want to mitigate your risk. That's my first thing. My second thing is there is nothing that you can do with solid waste, recyclables, or anything that doesn't have risk. When we walk outside, there's a risk. Risk is inevitable. So what we have to do is figure out how can we mitigate our risk. And so I'd like to know what risk assessor you are working with. I have no idea who authored the bill. I think it's a Harris, but I don't know which one is Harris.
Okay. I imagine the mayor should respond to that.
But I have more questions. Can I just get the last two in, please?
One question, Mayor. Will you answer the question?
Okay.
Thank you.
Also, if you're going
excuse me, yes. she's answering your one question.
Oh, she's gonna answer. Okay.
Yes, go ahead, Mayor.
The assessment would be done once the site is chosen, and that would be done through the regulatory process with IDEM, and through any provisions provided by the zoning and the council. But the largest part is through IDEM.
Mayor, you may want to mention the clay lining and all those kinds of things. That's, I think, what she's talking about, risk.
The way that something is constructed, that one of the C&D sites would be constructed, it would require lining. but the specific site assessment would be done through IDEM.
That was the question and answer portion of the February 7th public forum held at the Glenn Theater in Gary. It was hosted by State Representative Vernon Smith and his House colleagues Charlie Brown and Earl Harris Jr. and State Senator Eddie Melton and Lonnie Randolph. And we bring it to you as a special Regionally Speaking here on Lakeshore Public Radio. I'm Chris Nolte.